Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, listeners. You are listening to program Perspective from News and Current Affairs Channel of Radio Pakistan. Listeners, this program is simultaneously broadcast from Islamabad at 1152 kHz, Lahore 1332, Karachi 639, Quetta 756, and Peshawar 1260 kHz. This is your host, Daniel Ahmed Chughtai. Join in the studio by
Yusra Mushtaq.
Welcome to the latest edition of Program Perspective. Now, listeners, firstly, the brief introduction of this program. In Perspective, we discuss important developments and top news stories of today and sometimes also of the previous week. And we try to generate lucid discussion, and we also take experts on call during the course of our program. Now, listeners, you can also listen live to this program or in a recorded form at www.radio.gov.pk. All in all, in today's agenda of Perspective, we have two topics to share with our listeners, and Yusra, after quite a long time we are meeting, but alhamdulillah, I must add over here that we find a lot of stability in Pakistan as compared to the past, the state of affairs past 2 weeks that we were observing, of course. Now, the first topic that we are going to share with our listeners, Pakistan-US re-engagement, and United States vows to work with Pakistan to combat threat of terrorism. And moreover, listeners, we also see that US Defense Secretary James Mattis is expected to visit Pakistan this week, and according to reports, Yusra, he will visit three countries, and one of those countries is Pakistan, and it's going to be a day-long trip. He's going to meet Prime Minister Shahid Khan Abbasi and also Chief of Army Staff Kamar Javed Bajwa, a much-anticipated visit, of course, and we will talk about the bilateral ties of US and Pakistan in the context of the larger strategy of US, or rather new strategy of US for South Asia. Now, that's the topic one, and moving towards the topic two, President for National Harmony, Unity to Counter Terrorism and Extremism. Listeners, President Mamnoon Hussein was addressing the International Sirat Conference in Islamabad today, and he has called for formulating a national narrative against terrorism in light of teachings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and referring to the yesterday's terrorist attack in Peshawar. And we should also mention over here that it was a very tragic incident. Approximately, I believe, nine people were martyred, and some of them were students as well, in that heinous terrorist act. So the President of Pakistan, Mamnoon Hussein, said, whilst referring to that terrorist attack, that a person who has respect and affection for the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believes in Islam cannot dare to play with the lives and properties of other people in such a manner. And he emphatically made it clear that Pakistani nation strongly rejects terrorism and is determined to wipe it out. So this is pretty much the agenda of this edition of Perspective. As you can see, very significant and important developments. But the first topic that we are going to focus is Pakistan and U.S. re-engagement. And also, allow me to share over here that Afghan President Ashraf Ghani has also stated that Kabul is ready to hold talks with Pakistan. So we are going to link these things up and try to generate a discussion as far as the bilateral ties and new U.S. Strategy for South Asia is concerned. But listeners, right now, we'll move to us a short break, and then we'll come back and discuss this topic in detail. We will be right back. Listeners, welcome back to the News and Current Affairs Channel of Radio Pakistan. You're listening to Program Perspective with your host, Daniel Ahmed Chughtai, joined in the studio by Yusra Mushtaq. And as of now, we are joined by Dr. Talat Wazarat, a notable international relations expert. Ma'am, thank you so much for joining Radio Pakistan.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, ma'am, we are discussing Pakistan and U.S. re-engagement, and U.S. has vowed to work with Pakistan to combat threat of terrorism. I'm talking about the new strategy of U.S. for South Asia region. How would you comment on this? And also, it is expected that U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis is going to visit Pakistan next week. So how would you relate that with new U.S. Strategy for this region?
The strategy unfolded by Mr. Trump on 21st August, I think it has very disturbing features, and what we see now is just a follow-up on that. It's obvious that the Americans want Pakistan to actually fight their war in Afghanistan. They would like to have Pakistan's cooperation. Of course, Pakistan has been cooperating ever since 2001 and even before that. But they would like Pakistan to actually fight and win a war for them, which they, being a superpower, have already lost. I'm not too optimistic about Mattis' visit here or about their, expression of sorrows and all that. It's very well known that CIA and DRAW are working together against Pakistan. They are using Afghanistan's soil. Every time they want to push Pakistan into another war, some terrorist development takes place, and Pakistani Taliban, who are actually in the pay service of CIA and RAW, they come into operation, they do whatever they are required to do. So I think United States must first change its attitude. It should not try to harm Pakistan like it has been trying to do that. And the understanding between them and India and all the things they are doing for India, for example, passing on nuclear technology, so-called civilian nuclear technology, to India. I think U.S. policy should be more even-handed, number one. Number two, it should not be designed to push Pakistan into one war after another. Number three, they should not expect Pakistan to win their wars for them. If they are really ready for it, they should go and fight for themselves. Although I think the military strategy has badly failed in Afghanistan, they should try, and then maybe Pakistan might be able to help them to start negotiations. But I think Pakistan can only do some part of this, but actually the Afghan government and the U.S. will have to offer some, positive framework to the Afghan Taliban so that they become interested in talks. I think there is no alternative to this Afghan crisis except meaningful diplomatic negotiations.
Ma'am, how do you view the U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis' visit to Pakistan the coming week, as it's a second trip after the announcement of the U.S. President's strategy towards South Asia? So what are the prospects that you are looking forward with the visit of James Mattis to Pakistan?
I think James Mattis, other important decision makers of the United States, they've been visiting Pakistan off and on. But they don't bring anything new. What they can bring is only within the framework of the August 21st policy announcement by Trump. I don't think they can bring anything fresh, anything different from that. Whatever they bring will be within that framework. And I have serious reservations against that policy. I don't think that's based on a perception of Pakistan's interest in the whole thing. I think for Pakistan to help him and to be able to, help in sorting out matters, there will have to be a deviation from that August policy, and they should put all their eggs in the peace basket, not in the war basket. They want to defeat the Taliban and then force them to negotiate. I think if they base their strategy on this, the war will go on for another several years. If the Americans want to cut down their losses, the best strategy would be to offer a meaningful kind of framework to the Afghan Taliban so that they become interested in peace, in talks. And if that happens, then I think that would be the luckiest day for not only Afghanistan and Pakistan, for the entire region, I think.
Right, and one last question. We see the decisive role is, of course, played by USA over here. From your analysis, I deduce that you are very critical of this new policy for South Asia. We all know, Dr. Philip Bazarat, that what US did in Vietnam, how miserably they failed, what happened in Iraq, and we are also seeing in front of us what is happening in Afghanistan. Is it just this, that it is Americans' high-headedness, that they can't just digest their failure, and instead they are making Pakistan a scapegoat for what they have done in that country?
Exactly. I think, you know, their arrogance, their pride, all superpowers, all big powers have a lot of ego, but sometimes they lack strategy to achieve their objectives. And ego can become a big drawback. So I think the U.S. is currently going through this ego problem, and they want a scapegoat, and they want a country on which they can pin up all their, all the losses that they've suffered. Instead of that, I think if they really search methods, strategies, how to cut their losses, how to help the region stand on its own feet again. But I think, I really believe this. I think the Americans don't want to leave Afghanistan. If there is peace in Afghanistan, then they'll have to leave their soldiers, their army will have to leave Afghanistan. They think Afghanistan is a very strategic prize for them. They want to keep sitting there, but they don't want their soldiers to die. They want to occupy Afghanistan without paying the cost. And they feel that if they can sit there, they can keep an eye on Xinjiang, they can keep an eye on CPEC, they can keep an eye on Pakistan's nuclear efforts, Central Asia's oil reserves, and Iran and its policies. So I think it's very strategic for them. I don't think they're ready to leave. But they want Pakistan's cooperation to somehow put pressure on the Taliban, and we are not a superpower. I don't see how we can pressurize anyone to put pressure on Taliban not to kill the American soldiers to stop their war.
Right. Well, I would say that was extremely insightful. Dr. Tarat Bazarat, as always, it was very informative talking to you. Thank you so much for joining Radio Pakistan. Listeners, we were talking with Dr. Talat Bazarat, a notable international relations expert. And I, for one, Yusra, must, I would say once again that it was indeed very insightful talking to her. The first thing that she really mentioned about, since we are talking about the U.S. Strategy for South Asia, she said that I find many disturbing features in that. So I would like you to kind of, you know, expound on this this statement, disturbing features, what actually she's referring to us, and even if you don't have to get into nitty-gritties, just holistically.
I think that it's not only from the side of the Pakistan, it's overall if we see the U.S. policy towards South Asia. It is a kind of carrying up with lots of discriminatory attitudes, because we have known that after the Twin Towers attack, the invasion in Iraq as well as in Afghanistan has totally changed the understanding towards the security, totally changed the meaning of the terrorism and also the meaning of the conventional war. And this we have seen from more than two decades, that how there are changes in the international understanding towards such kind of things which have been related with the international political system. The whole world has been participating in the global war on terrorism, but the major stakeholders, means Pakistan, the geostrategic allocation, the geostrategic location of the Pakistan sharing the border with Afghanistan, has totally changed the meaning for the Pakistan and for the Pakistanis. Pakistanis have suffered a lot in the name of terrorism, number of suicide attacks, number of terrorist organizations, as well as number of those disturbing features which has really meant once to topple up the whole economic system of the Pakistan and even the whole statehood of the Pakistan. And there have been many, I would say, delicate time periods where Pakistan have been questioned regarding its role in the global war on terrorism, and especially, I would say, the Do More Mantra. Do More Mantra is nothing else than a discriminatory attitude of the Americans towards the Pakistan, because we have seen no one in the Pakistan has ever bared such kind of a heinous act like the APS attacks. The school kids, how they have become the victim in the name of the terrorism. And after the, I would say, the sequential starts of the military operations in different parts of the Pakistan, we have National Action Plan also. They have totally negated the existence of the terrorism inside the country, and as well as Pakistan is a country which is a strong proponent of peace, and not only the peace curbing the scourge of terrorism. And at the same time, I think that there have been almost 2-3 administrations of the USA, like the Bush, the two tenures of Obama, and now the President Donald Trump. And we have seen that how these administrations, they handle the Pakistan issue of terrorism, because it's not only in Pakistan. The terrorism is a worldwide phenomena. It is all linked with this region. We have seen the growing threat and the influence of ISIS in the rest of the world, and how they are victimizing the Western countries. But at the same time, if it's a matter of Afghanistan instability, why we are forgetting that for the sake of a state building, for the sake of the peace, for the sake of a secure Afghanistan, we need to develop a state building. It's not only just with the use of force. It's not only by having the lethal weapons. It's not only having the increased number of troops on the ground. It's more than that, because this is an age where we have found it out that either it's about the conventional warfare, or either it's about the latest technologies, or even at the cyber warfare. We have seen that what is the most important, or a thing which really needs to be used, that is through the negotiations, the quadrilateral peace processes which have been occurred in the different time periods. Why they are not successful? How can we make the negotiations successful, and how can we make all the stakeholders to be at the same line? And if it's Afghanistan, why US is treating Pakistan in the same line? Pakistan is a sovereign state, and US must understand the importance of the bilateral ties between Pakistan and the USA. And no doubt, the Afghanistan is equally very much important for the Pakistan and the USA. Its peace is highly important.
I think even more important for Pakistan, more because important. We are the neighbor.
Yes, we are their neighbors, and that is why we are sharing a long water. The Afghan refugee problem is always present. So why we are always pressing up with Pakistan, why we are always trying to influence the policies of the Pakistan? I think that Pakistan is very much vigilant, and I would say successful enough to carry out the counter-terrorism mechanisms in not only in its own country, but also at the Pak-Afghan border also.
Right. Well, in the end, I would say that with all the highly critical remarks that our analysts and we have stated about the U.S. new strategy for South Asia, the good thing, listeners, is that the communication lines are open. As such, we see that U.S. says it will continue to work with Pakistan to combat the threat of terrorism. In a statement, U.S. State Department spokesperson Heather Nott strongly condemned the terrorist attack on the Peshawar Agriculture Training Institute, wherein we saw the loss of 9 lives. And moreover, the spokesperson said, "We stand with the people and the government of Pakistan and offer our deepest condolences to the families of the victims." It must also be noted over here that the Afghan president recently stated that Kabul is ready to hold talks with Pakistan, and U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis is also expected to visit Pakistan this week. And it is being said that he will reach Pakistan next week on embarking his visit to Middle East, West Africa and South Asia. And whilst when he will be visiting Pakistan, he will meet Prime Minister Shahid Khan Abbasi and Army Chief Qamar Javed Bajwa in second such trip after U.S. President Donald Trump announced his South Asia strategy on August 21. So in the end, we will say that it's a good thing the communication lines are open and increased communication is happening, because that's the only way forward. And really, we hope that a political solution instead of a military solution should be opted as far as Afghanistan is concerned. So listeners, in the end, Pakistan-U.S. re-engagement, and U.S. vows to work with Pakistan to combat a threat of terrorism. This is the topic one, and our second topic, which we will discuss after the Mirror News Bulletin and a short break is that President for National Harmony, Unity to Counter Terrorism and Extremism. And with this, we'll move towards Mirror News Bulletin. President has urged intelligentsia to play their role in formulating a national narrative against terrorism in light of teachings of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. United States has reaffirmed commitment to continue to work with Pakistan in combating the threat of terrorism. In occupied Kashmir, complete shutdown was observed in Budgam district for the second day today against the killing of fourth youth by Indian troops. In Afghanistan, two security personnel were killed in a bomb attack in Nangarhar today. Israel has carried out a surface-to-surface missile attack at a military installation outside Damascus. In the Adelaide Test against England, Australia were 209 for the loss of 4 wickets at stumps on the first day today. That was the Mirror News Bulletin, listeners, and with this we'll move towards a short break, but we will be back and we will discuss the second topic then. In the meantime, stay tuned.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs Channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gawadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Now you can download Radio Pakistan's app, Radio Pakistan Official, from Google Play on your Android cell phone to listen to live news, analysis and your favorite programs and music. Download now and keep listening Radio Pakistan, the voice of the nation. Listeners, welcome back to the News and Current Affairs channel of Radio Pakistan. You are listening to program Perspective. I'm your host, Daniel Ahmed Shukhtai, and I'm joined in the studio by
Yusra Mushtaq.
Now, listeners, you can also listen live to our program or in a recorded form at www.radio.gov.pk. And for those of our listeners who just joined us, in Perspective, we discuss top news stories and important developments of the day and sometimes also of the previous week. And also, we take experts on call with us. Now, so far, we have discussed one topic, and I previously mentioned that in this edition of Perspective we have got two topics. So wrapping up the first topic, Pakistan-US re-engagement, and US vows to work with Pakistan to combat threat of terrorism. And moreover, US Defense Secretary James Mattis is expected to visit Pakistan next week, and we talk with Dr. Talat Bazarat on this topic. Now moving towards the second topic of this edition of our program, President Mamnoon Hussein has called for formulating a national narrative against terrorism in light of teachings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He was addressing the International Sealeth Conference in Islamabad today, and he urged the religious scholars, intellectuals, writers, poets, political and social experts, as well as think tanks, to play their role in building the narrative against terrorism. Moreover, he said that religious scholars at a conference have presented very positive suggestions for eliminating terrorism, and we have more updates on this.
Yes, he was referring to the yesterday's terrorist attack in Peshawar, the the President said that a person who has respect and affection for the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and believed in Islam cannot dare to play with the lives and the properties of other people in such a manner. The President emphatically made it clear that Pakistani nation strongly rejects terrorism and is determined to wipe it out. Extremism poses serious threat to national development and country stability, and it is imperative that the entire nation get united to purge the country of this menace. Mamnoon Hussain further added that by following the footsteps of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, we can free the society from all the ills and negative tendencies and put it on the path of peace, progress and prosperity. Addressing the conference, Minister for Religious Affairs Sardar Muhammad Yusuf said that it has always been an endeavor of the Ministry of Religious Affairs to promote Islamic teachings, as this is vital to meet the present day challenges.
Right, thank you for those updates. And as of now, listeners, we are joined by Brigadier Retired Syed Nizzi, a notable defense analyst. Thank you so much for joining Radio Pakistan.
Thank you indeed.
Now, sir, we are talking about what President Mamnoon Hussain has stated in a conference today. He said, and he basically called for formulating a national narrative against terrorism in light of teachings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In a nutshell, he called for national harmony, a unity to counter terrorism and extremism. Now, in the context of yesterday's terrorist attack in Peshawar, it is apparent that the backbone of terrorists are broken as they are increasingly targeting soft targets. Relating this with what President of Pakistan said, how would you view the Pakistan's counter-terrorism strategy as of today?
Actually, this war is almost 2 decades old, and we have grown enough, and the nation itself is very resilient and responding, and plus the security forces, they are also die-hard, and now they know their tactics. But the basic thing is that, of course, narrative is one of the driving force which motivates our youth as well as our nation, that we are on the right cause and we are supposed to support it, and we should sacrifice for this cause. That is the basic principle of a narrative. And then narrative counterterrorism, that actually it is a heinous crime. It is against the humanity. It is no Islam. It has got nothing to do with Islam by killing the innocent people. People and children, especially of universities and colleges and minors, and of course the women and children. So in Islam, nowhere it allows such sort of heinous activities or atrocities to be committed against the common people. Even in Islam, the trees are not supposed to be, green trees are not supposed to be cut. And there are rights for the prisoners as well. But unfortunately, this Islam is being portrayed in a negative way. And that's what is the Western people, and those people who are in between, neither the extremists, neither on the other side, the right wing, but in the middle one, and that is the majority, they are supposed to be told this thing, that, well, Islam is a very peaceful religion, and it believes in peace, and it projects the peace, and it, the name of Islam itself is a peace. I suppose this, what is the narrative itself, Islam itself, its name itself is a narrative. That we want peace, and peace for all, and peace for the rights of the minorities, and the peaceful living, and the peaceful purpose of Pakistan, and the progression of the peace. I suppose if grace is taken as a narrative, so for the peace, it is acceptable to the international community, the peace is acceptable to the hard humanity, and the peace is acceptable to the whole Ummah. And we want the peace in the whole world as well as in the Ummah. So if then this narrative is taken into consideration, and for this purpose the religious teachers and scholars are taken on board, and this is properly in the media propagated and told to the people, and especially taught to the youth, so they will not go astray. And more so, it will be a counter-terrorism policy, or rather narrative, that it will be cutting their edge for which they are fighting. Actually, we are fighting for the same cause, that is Islam. But what is true Islam? True Islam is the peace. True Islam is not that you perpetrate violence or may run in the cities and kill the people and name the people. This is not Islam. So I suppose in this context whatsoever these heinous activities are taking place, every activity is supposed to be decreed by the scholars. And if the decree comes from the scholars, from a panel of scholars, so naturally then it will be a sort of counter narrative for all those people who are committing such crimes and those organizations, those proscribed organizations who are involved in such sort of activities. So this is the basic thing in Pakistan we should follow. And more so, once we capture these people or once we confront these people and so-called their perpetrators and their supporters and their arbiters, their financiers, they are also be told that what we are doing is against the Islam. And they should be subjected to the Islamic law. They should be told how much you are wrong and how much you are right. And on which count you are wrong, both from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, they should be told that on these counts you are wrong. So once she is convinced, and this narrative is also being followed in Saudi Arabia, they confront whosoever he's been captured or whosoever are the target, they are telling them that what Islam teaches and what you are doing. This both the things are to be put on the table, and then one should decide that which way to go.
Rightly stated, and we can't agree with you more on this. Brigadier Retired Sergeant Zee, thank you so much for joining Radio Pakistan, sir. Listeners, we were talking with Brigadier Retired Sergeant Zee, a notable defence analyst, and how beautifully he has summarised the topic at hand. Of course, he was talking about what President of Pakistan stated. He called for national harmony, unity to counter terrorism and extremism. So, in other words, we need that kind of narrative which brings out the true teachings of Islam and also in the light of the teachings of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And indeed, we find a beautiful example in our Prophet. So, Yusra, I want, of course, your take on this, that although on the face of it, what President has stated, it might sound simple, but I think it is at the core of the problems that not just Pakistanis, but Muslims worldwide are facing.
I think that not only Pakistan, but the rest of the Muslims which are living in the different corners of the world, the really important thing is to build a narrative that what Islam is actually about and how it is preaches the message of love and humanity. We all know this, that Islam really emphasized on the lives of the human beings. And this is the same thing which the whole international Muslim Ummah is also emphasizing, that Islam is actually about the respect of the humanity. And we have seen that before Islam, how the slaves have been treated, how the poor people they have been treated. And at the same time, after the Islam, there is a strong respect for the rights of the human being, the rights which we are having now in the name of different organizations, with the name of different basic human rights. We have the UN also. These all are the things which Islam has clearly mentioned in its message after its revelations in the form of Quran Pak and as well as the Seerat of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the same thing which the President Mamnoon Hussein has also emphasized, that we should learn a lesson from the life of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is not only about that we are just taking it, following up certain lines, but we should try to build a narrative according to it. Building a narrative for the Pakistan, building a narrative for the international Muslim community is highly important at this moment of time when at the international front we are coming across with lots of misperceptions about the religion, lots of those things, and also the mishandling of the different teachings of Quran Pak also. Yes. And we should really emphasize, and we should get out of different kind of ambiguities which are associated with our religion. We should be very, very much clear, we should be very much direct by also having a researched view about the holy book as well as the life of the prophethood. And this is the same thing which in this international Seerat conference has also been mentioned, that how can we, what is the key to have a peace and stability, that is the life of the prophethood.
Rightly stated, Yusra. I agree with you 100%, and I think it is indeed a dire need in present time as we see increased Islamophobia worldwide, and I would say with the existence re-emergence of right-wing groups, the ultra-nationalist groups who without any evidence try to harm the image of Islam. So in the end, summarizing this topic in the words of the President of Pakistan, he urged religious scholars, intellectuals, writers, poets, political and social experts, as well as think tanks, to play their role in building the narrative against Pakistan. It's a clear-cut message that all of these people and more, of course, have a role to play in it to build up a new narrative which is conducive towards a peaceful existence. And moreover, the president said that by following the footsteps of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, we can free the society from all the ills and negative tendencies and put it on the path of peace, progress and prosperity. And I think this overrides everything else. So, listeners, in the end, summarizing the agenda of this edition of Perspective, the first topic that we discuss, Pakistan-US re-engagement and US vows to work with Pakistan to combat threat of terrorism. And moreover, US Defense Secretary James Mattis is expected to visit Pakistan next week. On this topic, we talked with Dr. Sarat Bazarat. And the second topic that we discussed just now, President for National Harmony, Unity to Counter Terrorism and Extremism. And on this, we talked with Brigadier Retired Sad Nasi, who shared his valuable insight on this subject. With this, listeners, we'll move to a short break, but stay tuned as we have got another segment, Spot on Technology, by Maha Khan Jadoon, to share with you. We will be right back.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues, with expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion, Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Now you can download Radio Pakistan's app, Radio Pakistan Official, from Google Play on your Android cell phone to listen to live news, analysis and your favorite programs and music. Download now and keep listening Radio Pakistan, the voice of the nation. Welcome back to the program Perspective from News and Current Affairs channel of Radio Pakistan. This is your host, Daniel Ahmed Chukhtai, joined in the studio by
Yusra Mushtaq
and
Maha Khan Jadoon.
Listeners, you can also listen live to our program or in a recorded form, or for that matter, any transmission of Radio Pakistan from our website, that is www.radio.gov.pk. And for those of our listeners who just joined us, in Perspective, we discuss top news stories and latest developments of the day, of course pertinent to Pakistan and sometimes also of the previous weekend, and we also take experts on call. Listeners, once again, welcome back to the program Perspective. We are experiencing some technical difficulties and apologies for that, but without further ado, we'll now move to a spot on technology for latest technological and science news. And with this, over to you, Maha.
Thank you, Daniel. Good evening, listeners. This is Maha Khan Jadoon, your host for Spot on Technology. Today, I'll share some very interesting science and technology news, so stay tuned. Listeners, when a company like Apple rushes out to a software patch for a critical security bug, it deserves praise for protecting its customers quickly. except perhaps when that patch is so rushed that it's nearly as buggy as the code it was designed to fix. Earlier this week, Apple scrambled to push out a software update for Mac operating system High Sierra to sew up a glaring hole in the operating system's security measures, which was when any person or malicious program tried to log into a Mac computer, install a software, or change the settings, and thus hit a prompt for a username and password, they could simply enter root as a username, no password, and still bypass the prompt to gain full access to the computer. Apple's initial patch came out about 18 hours after the bug was first reported. But now, multiple Mac users have confirmed to Wired that Apple's fix for that problem has a serious glitch on its own. Those who had not yet upgraded their operating system from the original version of High Sierra 10.13.0 to the most recent version, which is 10.13.1, but had downloaded the patch, say that the root bug reappears when they install the most recent Mac operating system update. And worse, two of those Mac users say that they've also tried reinstalling Apple's security patch after that upgrade, only to find that the root problem still persists until they reboot their computer, with no warning whatsoever that a reboot is necessary. Listeners, yet another update related to Apple. Apple released an iOS update in the middle of the night. iOS 11.2 brings Apple's Pay Cash, but the feature is not live yet. The company still needs to flip a switch on its servers to enable it. Today's update also enables support for faster 7.5 watts wireless charging. If you have an iPhone 8 or an iPhone X as well as a wireless charger that supports 7.5 watts or more, your phone will now charge more quickly as Apple first limited wireless charging to 5. Some users have had some serious issues with the autocorrect feature. The default iOS keyboard would change it into i.t for no apparent reason. iOS 11.2 should fix that issue as well. In iOS 11, if you tap on the Wi-Fi or Bluetooth icons in Control Center, iOS does not disable Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Instead, your phone disconnects itself from Wi-Fi networks and the Bluetooth accessories until the next day at 5 a.m. or you restart your device or you go to a new place for Wi-Fi. Listeners, yet another Apple-related news. Is your iOS device rebooting itself seemingly at random this morning? You are not alone. Apple is having a pretty rough week when it comes to nasty software bugs. First, there was that crazy admin login bypass in Mac operating system, and now a glitch is causing iOS devices around the world to crash. Here's what's happening. A glitch in the notification system is crashing the Spring Board, which is the part of iOS that handles your home screen. Apps with daily notifications, for example your workout apps, the medication reminder apps, etc., in particular seem to be triggering the crash. But only after your device's clock passes 12 a.m. on December 2, 2017, that it originates from apps with daily notifications, means it's not affecting everyone. But it also makes it pretty hard to narrow down the list of impacted apps. There are just too many. So what's the workaround? If you can get your device to boot for a few minutes without crashing and you can still remember which apps send the daily notifications, you can turn off the notifications for those apps. First you go to Settings, then Notifications, then the app that's in question, and then you toggle Allow Notifications and you're good to go. Listeners, it's time to say goodbye to the blob. Google's new emoji have arrived. The blobs first appeared in the spring of 2013. They were roundly amorphous, like cookie dough plubbed into a baking sheet. Their faces, a rainbow of emoticons, had mouths that turned up and down in imprecise dashes. For years, the blob sat on the keyboards of Android phones and Google Hangouts as the goofy counterparts to Apple's more lifelike emoji. And at the same time, they amassed both haters and loyal users. Now, though, that debate is over. As part of its Android Oreo update, Google has replaced the blob with symmetrical circles and more human-like figures. The update marks the biggest change Google's ever made to its emoji in years, but it did not happen overnight. Emoji, like so many of the objects they are designed to represent, evolve. Transforming the blob's shape, color, and meaning was a lengthy process that started, arguably, the moment Google Blobs emoji was born. Listeners, SpaceX Falcon Heavy, which is its most powerful reusable rocket to date, might have its first launch before the end of the year after all, and it's going to be Musk's very own Tesla. Following reports that time was up for the launch in 2017, it had originally been scheduled for November. But SpaceX CEO Elon Musk has seemingly confirmed that it will take place sometime in December. And in true Musk style, there is more. Musk revealed that the payload inside the rocket will be his own Tesla Roadster, which launched while playing Space Oddity. The planned destination is Mars, and all being well, Musk said that his personal vehicle will be in the planet's orbit for a billion years. Musk's tweet appeared to contradict reports from earlier this week that the Falcon Heavy launch would not take place until early 2018. SpaceX President Shotwell told Aviation last week that the company is planning a static test fire for its Falcon Heavy rocket with all 27 Merlin engines used simultaneously before the end of 2017. Should that proceed without any major issues, the full launch would happen weeks later. Listeners, three senior level security managers resigned from Uber today. One of the three who resigned, including Pooja Ashok, was chief of staff to now former chief security officer Joe Sullivan. Sullivan was fired last week for trying to hide the security breach that affected about 57 million riders and 600,000 drivers. The other two who resigned were Prithvi Rai, who is a senior security engineer, and Jeff Jones. Both Ashok and Jones are planning to stay at Uber until January to help with the transition. Uber security practices have been under intense scrutiny lately. Last month, new CEO Dara Khosrowshahi disclosed the company that failed to report the massive 2016 data breach. Earlier this week in the court, Uber's chief legal officer called out the company's pre-Khosrowshahi security practices for gathering information on the competitors. Insight into Uber's tactics came to light during an evidentiary hearing regarding its legal battle with Alphabet's Waymo over self-driving car technologies. Listeners, this is all for today's Spot On Technology. I'm your host, Maha Khanjadoon. Stay tuned for more updates.
Well, indeed, Uber is going through a lot of problems. Thank you for those technological news and updates. But I must say that a lot of Apple news that you shared, is it just this that Apple is in the limelight too much, or is it just your love for Apple, Maha?
It's actually both, because this week I think it was all about Apple. But I think you must have noticed that two of the news were negative,
yes.
Because one was a glitch and the other one was also a glitch.
No, I'm not judging you, just saying.
So it's not like I always say good things about Apple, you know.
Fair enough. And well, once again, thank you for those updates. Now, listeners, in the end, I will share a bit of sports news followed by the weather update, starting off with the domestic cricket. Former Australian cricketer and Multan Sultan's head coach, Tom Moody, has said that he would come to Pakistan if his team reaches the final stages of Pakistan Super League's third edition, also known as PSL. Allow me to quote him verbatim, quote, "Yes, I will be joining the team for the games in Pakistan," unquote, he said while talking to one of the media outlets. And moreover, he added that hopefully we will qualify for the finals and get the opportunity to play at both venues, that is of course Karachi and Lahore. And when asked whether Pakistan fans will get to see international stars in action in Pakistan, he said, "I think the trust level of the players who travel to Pakistan is going to improve over time. More and more players are getting comfortable with the idea of playing in Pakistan, and I think it will only increase over time." So that's pretty much all from the sports side, listeners. In the end, the weather update. Firstly, the synoptic situation. A westerly wave is likely to enter upper parts of the country today evening and may persist during next 2 to 3 days. And the weather forecast for next 24 hours, mainly cold and dry weather is expected in most parts of the country. However, rain, thunderstorm with gusty winds, snowfall over the hills is expected at isolated places in Malak and Hazara divisions, Gilgit-Baltistan and Fatah. Shallow foggy conditions are unlikely over a few plain areas of Punjab and Upper Sindh during morning hours. And with this, this is the credits of this edition of Perspective. The sound engineer was Mohammad Khurshid Khan. Program coordinator was Alina Tariq. Program in charge was Asadullah Khan. And executive in charge was Javed Khan Chidun. With this, listeners, allow your host Daniel Ahmed Shuftai,
Yusra Mushtaq
and
Maha Khan Jadoon
to sign out from the studio. You will now listen to 7 p.m. news bulletin from News Studio, and after that program, Nukta Nazar. With this, Allah Nigiban.